The lovely city of Pune has had a relatively quiet past, just like its vibe. The peaceful city known as the Oxford of the East, known for its beautiful weather, known for the Puneri attitude of Punekars, and also known for its famous Bakarwadis, was once terrorized to its core. Everything has been pretty golden here, apart from the years 1976 to 1977. That's when things got dark and gory. Why? What happened during this period? This question arises in everyone's mind, as most of us are not even aware of the Joshi Abhyankar serial murders. Very few within our generation have even heard of this story. But my mother, who was a teenager in this era, has memories of this incident that created terror in the air. This case has almost disappeared in the pages of history, but it has played a significant part in Pune's past. Newspaper reports were full of gruesome murders taking place in the city, which were disturbing its people and the peaceful nature. The city was shivering with fright. What exactly happened? If you don't already know, then I'm here to share these horrific details on Sins of Asia. Welcome to Sins of Asia, a true crime podcast focused on the murders, mysteries and crimes of Asia. I'm your host Apurva and today's sin is popularly known as the Joshi Abhyankar serial murders. Today's story is a flashback to the 1970s of Pune. Prakash Hegde, a 20-year-old former student of Abhinav Kala Mahavidyalaya from Pune, suddenly went missing on the 15th of January 1976. His father, Mr. Sundar Hegde, who ran a small restaurant close to the college premises called Hotel Vishwa, had not seen his son at home or in or near college. 2 days later, on the 17th of January, a ransom note was pushed through the restaurant's shutter. Sundar Hegde picked up the letter and on first glance, he realized that the letter was from his son, Prakash. The letter stated that he was leaving home and needed money. On reading the complete letter, Sundar Hegde immediately contacted the police and displayed the letter to them, constantly pointing out that the letter was signed by the name Prakash. He told the police that Prakash always used to sign documents using his nickname Devdas. Hence, this letter seemed fishy and he suspected that the letter was not written by Prakash at his own will but maybe under pressure. He requested the police to trace his son as he might be in some danger. However, despite a police complaint filed by Mr. Hegde, there was not much progress made and the case was termed and closed as a missing case. Then, a big blow came on the 31st of October 1976, because of which the entire city of Pune was startled with shock. It was like a real Halloween for Pune. Joshi family from Vijayanagar colony in Sadashivpet were found dead in their house. Achyut Joshi, the head of the house, was found strangled with a nylon rope, and his wife Ushabai Joshi's death was predicted to be from suffocation. Their hands and legs were tied by ropes too. Joshi's teenage son Anand was found similarly strangled with a nylon rope as his father and was also found stripped naked. Several items from the Joshi household, including a Mangalsutra, a watch and several thousand rupees were found missing. It was a clear robbery case but in a brutal manner. Police did several investigations but nothing came out of it. No one saw who did this, no fingerprints were found, there was nothing. Even the sniffer dogs were unable to trace the smell as there was a pungent smell lingering in the crime place, confusing the dogs. After no solid evidence was found, the case was eventually closed as a robbery which led to the brutal killings. Within a month, on the 22nd of November 1976, Yashomati Bafna, a famous personality who lived in a huge bungalow on Shankar Shet Road, filed a complaint in the police station stating that there was a gang of four members who attacked her house the previous night. However, she and her two servants fought back and the assailants escaped by climbing a wire fence around the perimeter of the bungalow. The police questioned Bafna if there was any evidence left by the assailants or any name disclosed by them, to which she told the police that the word boss had been used liberally. Keep in mind the word boss. It might come in handy in the later part of the case. The police closed the case after a few investigations saying it was an attempted robbery. On the 1st of December 1976, there was a massive attack on the Smriti Bungalow, which was a noted premise on Bhandarkar Road belonging to a famous 88-year-old Sanskrit scholar named Kashinath Shastri Abhyankar. Mr. Kashinath and his wife Indrabai, aged 76, their mate Sakubai Wag, aged 60, and grandson Dhananjay, aged 19, were found murdered with cotton stuffed in their mouth and neck strangled with nylon rope, similarly as the Joshis were. Abhyankar's 20-year-old granddaughter, Zui, was stripped naked and found strangled with a nylon rope similar to the other family members. When this incident happened, his son C.K. Abhyankar and daughter-in-law had gone out. Kashinath's son and his wife at around 10:30 p.m. returned home and their entire world came crashing down when they saw the end of their entire family in front of them. They immediately called the police on the scene. Several valuables from the house were missing, which again proved that this was a robbery case. The police arrived, did their normal investigation and were confused again. After this incident, the entire city of Pune was left scared and frightened. Even the Bal Gandharva Rang Mandir, which was the Pune Municipal Corporation run theatre that was usually packed with people and reverberating with sound, was now dark and deserted. Pune was in the grip of panic ever since the gruesome murders of two families took place exactly a month apart on two successive Dashmi nights. In Hinduism, Dashmi is the 10th day of moon's waxing. There were these astrological and religious sentiments and beliefs attached to this case, as the two Joshi and Abhyankar killings were done on the Dashmi night. Days after Dashmi, the atmosphere in Pune was still tense and the policemen were to be seen at almost every corner of the street. The Marathi press had made such a huge capital out of these crimes that it was unimaginable. During this time, the locksmiths too made huge money, as in every house there were special locks and chains put up on the main doors. All the performances of the Bal Gandharva Rang Mandir Theatre scheduled for the 31st of December and the 1st of January were cancelled, as no one dared to step out of their house on Dashmi nights. Such a thing had never happened in the history of Rang Mandir. Even after months of these killings, the police did not quite have any bright ideas as to who the killer could be. All that was assumed by the police was that the death was simply a result of robberies that went horribly wrong and led to killings. Everything was getting slowly back to normal in Pune after the Abhyankar killings. It was close to 4 months and no gruesome nylon rope murder thefts filed in the police station. This was until the final murder victim emerged. On the evening of 24th March 1977, the dead body of Anil Gokhale, tied to an iron ladder, surfaced on the Mula Mutha River near Bund Garden in Yerwada. On the evening of 23rd March, one day before the killing, Anil was on his way to meet his elder brother, Jayant Gokhale, at Alka Talkies, but he never reached there. The police team led by Police Inspector Manik Rao Damame reached the spot and realized that the nylon ropes used to tie the body to the ladder had been fastened in a manner identical to the ones in all the previous killings. He immediately brought this to the notice of the Assistant Commissioner of Police, Madhusudan Hulyalkar, the man who was leading the investigation. Undoubtedly, this was a turning point for the police. The police had initially thought the murders were a result of botched robberies, but was soon faced with the fact that they were following a group of serial killers. Cases like these were rare at that time in India, and the police began an intensive investigation to prevent any additional deaths. The police started rounding up all the persons with whom Anil Gokhale was last seen with, all his friends, his classmates, basically everyone who knew him. They were all being questioned. After the interrogation, two students of Abhinav Kala Mahavidyalaya and old classmates of Anil's elder brother named Shantaram Kanoji Jagtap and Dilip Sutar were heard discussing something nervously. Jagtap asked Sutar, "Will the police find out now?" To which Sutar is reported to have said, "Don't worry, the boss will take care of the police." This conversation provided a vital clue to the police, as the word boss had been used liberally at the Bafna residence. As there was no strong evidence against them, the police did not question them and let them go, but kept a close eye on them. Jagtap and Sutar were always found hanging out with two other friends named Rajendra Jakkal and Munawar Harun Shah. Rajendra Jakkal, Dilip Sutar and Shantaram Kanoji Jagtap were students pursuing graduation in the Pune's Abhinav Kala Mahavidyalaya. And Munawar Harun Shah, who was the youngest member of this gang, was a student of Pune College. These four had acquired a negative reputation for bad conduct on their college campuses. These four friends, unlike other students of the college, had indulged themselves in drinking and stealing. They hardly used to attend classes and spent most of their time either engaged in these activities or in Jakkal's tin shed, which was near Karve Road. Jakkal was addressed by the name Boss by the other three members. Further detailing done by the police revealed that whenever the gang ran short on money, they used to steal money, bikes and scooters from college campuses and nearby areas and then sell them to finance themselves. The police now had a strong suspicion on this gang. The police started interrogating all the batchmates and old friends who knew about this foursome gang. However, what really convinced the police of the foursome's involvement was when one of their college mates named Satish Gore broke down and said that he had been keeping their gruesome activities close to his chest. He also named Suhas Chandak in the course of police interrogation, after which Suhas was picked up by the police. It turns out that after Prakash Hegde's killings, Chandak had disassociated himself from the group despite getting repeated threats to his life from the four. He also revealed that he was one to set up a meeting between Prakash Hegde and the gang. Suhas said that he picked up Prakash under false pretense and took him to Jakkal's tin shed on Karve Road. There, they forced him to write a note to his father saying that he was leaving home. On the night of 16th January 1976, they gagged him and took him to Peshwe Park, which was in Saras Bagh. There, they strangled him with a nylon rope, put his body in an iron barrel, dumped some stones into it and pushed it into the lake in the park. The next day, a ransom note was pushed through the restaurant's shutter to his father. The police were stunned by this revelation. Hegde's case had been dismissed as a missing person case. Chandak's information was an unexpected bonus. If Gore's detailed confession pinned down the foursome, the subsequent confession made by Suhas Chandak was the final nail in the gang's coffin. After more than a year's gap, the barrel containing Hegde's remains was fished out of Peshwe Park Lake. The signatures of the strangulation with nylon rope and a specific knot helped police zero in on the culprits. Suhas Chandak, who today is a successful commercial artist in Pune, told the paper, and I quote, "I would not like to discuss this case anymore. I'm trying hard to forget all about it. It has affected me a lot," end quote. The four of them were finally picked up, as this time police had a lot of evidence against them. The police also found a long list of incriminating evidence at Jakkal's shed on Karve Road. Further checking by the police helped them recover many of the items that had been stolen from the household of Joshis and Abhyankars. They admitted their crimes of killings at the Joshis, the Abhyankars and Anil Gore. They also admitted to their unsuccessful attempt of robbery on the Bafna house and on a local businessman's house in Kolhapur in 1976. They disclosed that they used to wear rubber gloves to avoid leaving fingerprints and strip down the last person naked to prevent the person from running away and also to use him or her as a shield, as well as to lead them to the valuables in the house. They also used strong, strange-smelling perfumes to ward off the sniffer dogs, and shockingly, this worked. I'm not the one to praise any efforts taken by the sinners of any of the cases that I cover, but a few things they did to be successful at their criminal attempt and to confuse the investigators were very smart. And I cannot stop to think that these four would have had a bright future had they put their brains to good use. The court case began on 15th of May 1978 in Pune district, lasting for more than 4 months. On 28th of September 1978, they were sentenced to death by Pune Session Court Judge Vaman Narayan Bapat. The four appealed to Bombay High Court within a year on April 6, 1979. Thankfully, Bombay High Court turned down their appeal and upheld the death sentence. Their special leave petition against their convictions and sentences were again dismissed by the Supreme Court on 17th of November 1980. After both the High Court and Supreme Court turned down their appeals, the accused applied for presidential pardon. The pardon was not granted either. To buy time, the four appealed again to Supreme Court with a petition to convert their death sentence into life imprisonment. Munawar Harun Shah had appealed to the court stating that he was the junior member of the gang and did not take part in the actual killings. And since his conviction, he is translating the Quran in Marathi and is also learning Arabic language and homeopathy. In 1983, he also wrote an autobiography while being imprisoned named Yes, I'm Guilty. In a section of his book, Munawar describes the nature of other gang members. He said that they were nothing but the young next door men. Munawar writes, and I quote, "I'm still in search of the answers. How could I be so blind and foolish that I couldn't realize the results?" End quote. So far as Shantaram Jagtap is concerned, it is pointed out that he has written one book bearing the title Kalyan Marg in Marathi and has also translated a book from English to Marathi. And he was studying Buddhism and translating Dhammapada in Marathi. Based on these facts, a strong plea had been made to the court that their death sentence should be commuted to life imprisonment. But by now, the police rage had blown out of proportion. Punekars, keeping aside all of their political and community barriers, came along and a total of 1,000 prominent citizens signed a joint note addressed to the Supreme Court to reject their review petition. And they stated that the four should be hanged. This was an important contribution and as it prevented the case from dragging on for a longer time. And the court agreed to withhold their death sentence. Even to this, the gang contradicted the decision, saying that they should be subjected to an electrical chair, since according to them, hanging by a noose was a painful event. How ironic, isn't it? I mean, you shall reap what you sow, right? Anyways, the poor families of the victim could not tolerate the delay anymore and decided to fight back. They took written opinions of at least 10 leading doctors from across the country who unanimously agreed that hanging by a noose was the least painful of all terminal punishments, and these opinions were then presented in the court. However, the case was still dragged on because the accused kept the jury distracted with several goodwills, including wishing for organ donation and other religious causes. But finally, after 6.5 years since the case had opened in the Pune court, on 27th of November 1983, the city of Pune breathed a sigh of relief when the four were ultimately hanged at the Yerwada Central Jail. This was the first time when four guilty prisoners were hanged together. There were quite a few cinema coverage of this case, notably the 1986 Marathi movie titled Maafi Che Sakshidar, starring Nana Patekar as the boss Rajendra Jakkal. However, the storyline seems to be a bit modified. Moreover, Patch, a film directed by Anurag Kashyap in the year 2003, is loosely based on serial murders, but it was never given a theatrical or home video release. However, the film was later screened at several film festivals. A few more coverages in telemedia loosely based on the Joshi Abhyankar murder was aired in 2015 episode of Crime Patrol and 2012 episode of Savdhan India. After a huge battle and delay, justice was finally made and the previously calm and peaceful city of Pune was now terror-free. And with that, we come to the end of today's case. Let me know your thoughts on the Joshi Abhyankar killings on Instagram. The handle is Sins of Asia. I hope you found this episode informative. If you did, then please do not forget to give your precious ratings and reviews as it immensely helps the podcast. And please take a moment to also follow the podcast. New episode with a fresh sin from Asia goes live every Friday. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I hope you make good choices and don't become a criminal. Bye guys, I hope to catch you in the next sin.